Welcome to the Summer of Peace, a free global online summit designed to help you transform conflict in your heart, your relationships, and the world. This is a production of Shift Network in conjunction with the Gaia Field Project. And I'm Myra Jackson, and we are so glad that you're joining us today. Let me tell you, I'm excited to introduce our special guest today, Rabbi Pam Friedman. Let me tell you a little bit about Rabbi Pam. She's a spiritual leader and social justice activist in the Jewish and Sufi communities. She was a co-founder and the first woman to serve as president of OHALA, the International Association of Jewish Renewal Rabbis. She is a co-founder and international co-chair of Rabbis for Women of the Wall, and we're going to talk a little bit more about that. That whole effort was a multi-denominational effort to raise consciousness about women's religious rights in Israel. Rabbi Pam is the founding rabbi of Or Shalom Jewish Community in San Francisco, co-founder of the Rabbinic Advisory Council of Shalom Bayit, working to end domestic violence, and she serves on the organizing committee of Beyond Silence. It's all about raising consciousness on all types of abuse. She served on the board of the San Francisco Lodge of the Theosophical Society and the Aquarian Minion of Berkeley. Rabbi Pam is the author of Calling on God, Sacred Jewish Teachings for Seekers of All Faiths, and numerous other prayer books. And I want to come back to that, so get your pencils ready, and I'll give you some information on how you can find Rabbi Pam's book and her website. Rabbi Pam earned her bachelor's degree in psychology and linguistics at Tel Aviv University and was ordained by B'nai Or Religious Fellowship, where she served on the Rabbinic Cabinet for Academic Oversight. This is, you know, what a bio, right? All across various fields, she's steeped in Judaism, Sufism, Buddhism, theosophy, and carries a hot ember for social justice that burns in her belly. And I think that you'll be able to connect with that today. So, if your pencils are handy, I'd like to offer Rabbi Pam's website information to you. That's rebpam.com. It can't be any easier than that. rebpam.com. R-E-B as in boy, P-A-M.com. There you will find, just right on the homepage, a link right to her book, Calling on God, Sacred Jewish Teachings for Seekers of All Faiths, and that's in paperback and ebook. So here we go. I want to share with you, listeners, that as a part of her role in as a co-founder of Women of the Wall, in May 2013, after 2 decades of persistent and heroic effort, women secured their rights to sing and dance their prayers at the Western Wall. Rabbi Pam was a part of that effort, and today she joins us from Israel after a day of gathering at the wall. And so, Rabbi Pam, I just want to say it is a great pleasure to have you joining us today, and we welcome you.
Thank you, Myra. It is an honor and privilege, and I want to thank everyone who's listening. I really appreciate the accolades that Myra just shared about me, and I want to make one tiny, tiny correction, and that is that I am the co-founder of Rabbis for Women of the Wall, but Women of the Wall actually was founded by other great women who were my predecessors. Oh, you're welcome, and thank you, Myra. Back in the time that the Roman Empire was flourishing, King Herod built a retaining wall around the Holy Temple in Jerusalem. 90 years later, the temple was destroyed, but the retaining wall remained. And hundreds of years ago, Jewish people began to come to the remnant of that retaining wall and to pray there and to cry. And their prayers were so powerfully filled with passion that the Arabs who lived in the area near the wall began to call it Al-Makba, which means the crying wall. And now we call it the Western Wall. In 1968, the State of Israel put a perpendicular mechitza, a dividing partition that runs perpendicular from the wall, to divide the section in front of it between men's and women's prayer. So going back about 100 yards, there is this partition, and on the left side, men are welcome to pray, and on the right side, women are welcome to pray, and very young children can go back and forth. And this is a division that you find in Orthodox and ultra-Orthodox Judaism. You find it in Islam, where men and women pray separately. Now, on the men's side, men have been welcome since 1968 to pray in full voice or silently, to pray alone or in groups, to sing, to dance, to cry, to do what comes to them depending on the occasion, and also to celebrate bar mitzvahs of boys at age 13. Now, women have always been welcome at the Western Wall since 1968, and welcome to be on the women's side, and also way in the back of the plaza beyond the partition that goes back about 100 yards, women and men can be together in that open area. But whether women are in the women's section or in the back open section, in both places, women have been expected to speak softly, to pray softly. Of course they're welcome to be there, but they were expected to not gather in groups, to not sing out loud, to not dance, to not wear a prayer shawl, and to not bring a Torah scroll wrapped around the handles to read, as the men are allowed to do. 25 years ago, a group of Jewish feminist women were gathering in Israel for a conference, and Rivka Hout of blessed memory invited some women from all streams of the Jewish people, from the observant to the non-observant. And they gathered for a prayer service, and they brought, those who wanted to brought prayer shawls, and they brought a Torah scroll, and they were attacked. They were attacked because they were singing out loud, and because they were reading from the Torah scrolls, and also because of their prayer shawls. A group of women decided that the thing to do is to come to the wall once a month so that the Orthodox Jewish community could get used to women singing out loud and doing these rituals, the wearing of prayer shawls and the reading from the Torah. And indeed, for 25 years, we gathered at the wall. And sometimes we faced violence, and almost every time we faced verbal abuse. In the 1980s, Rachel Levin was hit in the head by a metal chair that a man had thrown over the partition, and Anat Hoffman had to take her to the emergency room to get stitches. In 2008 or 2009, women started to push the envelope around prayer shawls. They had made an agreement with the police. The police said, well, it's illegal for you to wear prayer shawls, but if you wrap them around your neck as a scarf, we'll look the other way and we won't arrest you. But slowly women decided to let those prayer shawls come down and be worn more like a shawl, as is the tradition, and women started to be arrested. In the fall of 2010, I co-founded Rabbis for Women of the Wall to raise consciousness in the world, and particularly in North America, about this cause of women. And it had a tremendous effect. Over 700 rabbis signed our statement, and over 80 cantors and over 80 Jewish organizations. And I had the privilege of bringing over 2,000 signatures of Jewish leaders to a number of government officials, including members of the Knesset, and Natan Sharansky, who is the head of the Jewish Agency. And this began to make a difference. And Women of the Wall continued, and there were arrests, and some paratroopers who had helped to open that area at the Western Wall came in support of Women of the Wall, and this turned public opinion in Israel. And some members of Knesset came, and this turned public opinion. And then finally, in April of 2013, there was a case that we won in criminal court that the judge said a woman may wear a prayer shawl and may read from a Torah scroll. And then everything changed. The police began to support us, but our detractors protested, sometimes violently. And the police and the border police just have protected us in an amazing way, sometimes allowing themselves to be injured in order to protect the women. Slowly, slowly, the situation has improved to where now we're able to gather once a month in the women's section, and we're able to pray relatively peacefully. Today's prayers were sad because three teenage boys have been kidnapped. At least we believe they've been kidnapped. Two 16-year-olds and a 19-year-old. And so we canceled some plans for celebration today, postponing those plans for a later time. And we prayed and we sang, but we did not dance. And we had a special prayer dedicated to the safety and hopefully the return of these three young men. May they be returned home in safety. As we came to the conclusion of our service, our leader, the chairwoman of Women of the Wall, Anat Hoffman, asked us to all take a moment to wish our Muslim sisters and brothers Ramadan Karim, because today is the beginning of a new Jewish month, the month of Tammuz, and it's also the beginning of Ramadan. So how does this relate to you? How does this relate to your life? The theme of my words today is changing the world one cause at a time. And how do we do that? And why should we do that? Because the world is always in need of change. The world is always in need of healing and improvement. There are always people who need our help. And so, if you don't yet have a chosen cause, I want to invite you to think about, what is your passion? What is a cause that you care about that matters to you or matters to people you love? What is a cause that you're willing to work for or donate to that even if you're criticized, you're still willing to stand behind them? I stood at the wall today, and I watched some teenage girls who were making fun of us. And these were very religious girls who were making fun of us for wearing our prayer shawls and for worshiping in a way that they consider to be a men's way, even though we had Orthodox women among us who believe that this is also a women's way. There was a moment when an Orthodox woman who comes every month, she started to blow a shrill whistle. In the early months after we won the court case, she and numerous other women and men would blow the shrill whistles for a full hour and a half of our prayers, or even longer if we prayed longer. Today, when this woman stood in front of us and started to blow the whistle, our acting director, Shira Pruce, went and got the police, and a male officer walked right into the women's section and took this woman into custody. And I don't believe that she was actually arrested, but she was removed from the premises together with her whistle, and we were allowed to continue. If you're going to work for a cause, you can have that shrill whistle blowing in your face, in your ear, on your heart. And so it's important to choose a cause that you feel is worth struggling for, worth being embarrassed for, worth being make fun of. And then you have a cause that's really worth being part of. We all have an ego. Human beings were given an ego. I believe, by God, in order to help us to make the world a better place and in order to live our lives in a meaningful way. Rabbi Simcha Bunim Bonhart, who lived in the 18th century, said that every person should have two pockets, and in each pocket there should be a little slip of paper, and on one slip of paper it should say, "I am but dust and ashes," and on the other slip of paper it should say, "The world was created for me." And the secret of life, says Rabbi Simcha Bunim, is to know when to put your hand in which pocket. And this is true when we're on the spiritual path looking for inner peace. It's important to know when to ride on the wave of our passion and when to try to quiet that wave and go for a peaceful breath. When someone's in danger, it's often important to allow ourselves to feel our passion so that we can act to make a difference. And sometimes that difference is to help protect ourselves from abuse or from something that isn't right. And then there are other times when really what we need to do is we need to let go and just let God. And the secret is to try to know which is which. One more thing that's really important as we choose the cause or causes for which we want to work to help change the world is to be prepared for our heart to break the world, the poverty, the disabilities, the disenfranchisement of so many people in so many places can really be heartbreaking. And sometimes just losing a struggle can be heartbreaking. The disciple of Rabbi Simcha Bunim, who became his successor, was Rabbi Menachem Mendel of Kotsk. Rabbi Menachem Mendel said, "There's nothing more whole than a broken heart." And I want to say that again. There's nothing more whole than a broken heart. When we feel that life is betraying us, when we feel that the people we care about are betraying us, when we feel that people are not noticing what we are doing, that's a time to let our heart break and to know that it's from the place of the broken heart that we can pray, we can meditate, we can sing, we can commune with the oneness, whether we call that oneness God or the Great Spirit or however we term, however we describe that oneness. Shema Yisrael, Adonai Eloheinu, Adonai Echad. Listen, O Israel, this being who we call Lord is God. This God being Lord is one. And the Sufi teacher Samuel Lewis, who himself was born and raised Jewish, he said, "I define and interpret the word Israel in the supernal sense of every devotee, of every person on the spiritual path, no matter what his or her faith. And from that point of view, we can say Shema Yisrael, Adonai Eloheinu, Adonai Echad means, listen, O devotee, on the spiritual path. All the many forms and names upon which we call as God, as divinity, is all one. There's nothing but the one. In Hebrew we say Ein Od, or Ein Zulato. In Arabic, the Muslims say, La ilaha il Allahu. There is no God except God. And each of the paths have a way to express this. And I'd like to share just a little bit in a chant now. And we're going to begin, this is a peace chant. We're going to begin it with the Hebrew word for peace, which is shalom. And it goes, like this.
Shalom. 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 Shalom.
Wherever you are, please try it with me.
Shalom. 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 Shalom.
And now in Sanskrit, and the words are Shanti Om.
Shanti Om. Shanti Om. Shanti Om.
And now in Arabic, and the word is salam.
Salam. Salam. Salam. Salam.
And now, I want to invite you, wherever you are, whether you're alone or in a group, to sing this again with me, and we'll have Hebrew, Sanskrit, Arabic, Hebrew. So we'll start Shalom, and then Shanti Om, and then Salam, and then Shalom.
Shalom. Shalom. Shalom. Shalom. Shanti Om. Shanti Om. Shanti Om. Shanti Om. Now salam. 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 Salam.
And now shalom again.
Shalom. 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 Shalom.
And let's be in silence. Amen. peace that passes understanding. Peace that is too vast to grasp with the mind, but can be felt in the heart. That's the peace that we are seeking. Rabbi Levi Yitzchak of Berdichev was a third-generation Hasid from the modern founder of Hasidism, the Baal Shem Tov. The Baal Shem Tov had a disciple, Rabbi Dov Ber of Mezrich, called the Magid of Mezrich. And the Magid had a number of famous disciples, including Reb Levi Yitzchak. And Reb Levi Yitzchak points out that God created the universe with opposites. We have fire and water. We have spirit and dust. We have good and evil. But at the root of everything, at the root where everything connects to the oneness from which it was created, in that place there is a unity of opposites. There's a unity of fire and water being able to coexist without one putting out the other. And in that place, the difference between good and evil dissipates. And so does the difference between spirit and matter. May we all merit to touch that place in our lives, the place of oneness, the place that is beyond our individuality, even as it manifests within our individuality. The place where we are all one. The place where we can make room for our enemy, for the woman blowing the whistle in our face when we are fighting for our cause, and we can realize that she too, that too, comes from the same oneness. May you all be blessed with peace. And to you, Myra.
Thank you, Rabbi Pam, for heart-raising sharing. I want to check with Michelle to make certain we have gotten a green light on a recording. I know for myself that I will return to this recording and listen again to the wisdom you have shared with us from so many. Michelle, is there anything that you have for us before we bring this to a close? Do we have any offerings?
Yeah, Myra. So I do want to confirm that we do have a recording and that will be available, absolutely. And I'm already thinking of people I want to share it with.
Absolutely.
My mother, who's a minister. And I do not see any questions or any specifics here. So I think we're good on my end.
This is really beautiful. So much was shared with us today, listeners, and I know for myself I am having bold written, there is nothing more whole than a broken heart. But there's so much more here, and so we thank you again, Rabbi Pam, and as we have our last 60 seconds together, I just want to remind listeners that there's more of Rabbi Pam. I've enjoyed being on her website. There are many, many prayers, poems, songs that are a part of a living library at rebpam.com, and I invite you to drop in and listen. Next week, we will continue the spirituality and peace series, and so you can plan on being with us again next week. I'd like to thank you all for listening and for being attentive today. What a great session that we've had with Rabbi Pam. Be sure to join us for the next session. We encourage you to engage others online on Facebook at facebook.com/shiftnetwork. Tell them all about what you experienced today and spread the word. Thank you all again for joining us. Thank you, Michelle. Thank you, Rabbi Pam.
Thank you, Myra, and thank you, Michelle. God bless one and all.
Yes. Shalom.
Shalom.
Shanti Om.
Shanti Om. Salam. Shalom.